The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Welcome everybody to our holiday edition of the Triple Threat Podcast. First off, I want to wish happy holidays. Hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas and had a very good holiday season as we approach the new 2021 years upon us, and we want to say happy holidays again, and thank you guys for always joining us here on the Triple Threat Podcast. Everybody who follows and subscribes and listens and shares it, we appreciate that. My man Scotty D is along with me, as always, you know, to keep the show going and make sure the show sounds good. Scotty D, man, what's happening? You got a 2018?
What's up? What's going on? How are
Scotty,
you?
Scotty, oh, is D it? Has on 2018 glasses.
Oh, I just, I lost.
You're trying to go back a year.
Something.
Or two.
Something. I don't know. I found these while cleaning the basement out. Actually, my wife cleaned it. I just found these. They're
usually like, man, I'm going to rock these joints.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do the whole show.
How was the Christmas? Kids get everything that they asked for, I'm sure, right?
Expensive.
Yeah.
I got to get my wife to dial it back a little bit. It is expensive.
She went ham on them?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. We got the kids got everything and all they want. My daughter got a new phone. My son bought a $400 bat.
Dang.
Which is normally
How old is your daughter?
It was normally $500 bat, just saying. I got a good deal on it.
That's crazy.
She's 13.
Okay.
She just tiptoed by, so she's probably standing there listening to me talk about it right now.
That's cool. So you got a $400 bat.
Yeah.
For your son. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously he's a baseball player, pretty good at it, I'm sure. And that bat will be around for a few years, I assume.
I hope. We moved up an inch, and let me tell you a story. He borrowed this kid's bat a few weeks ago at practice.
Right.
And he dropped one about 340, 345 over the fence. And
Dangles like, hitting Dangles.
He was like, I need that bat.
I bet. He was like, Dad, you saw that dude. Give me that bat so I can be the dude.
Yeah, he's a freshman. He's got high school tryouts coming up in the next couple of weeks. So I'm a softie, and I gotta give him everything he can have, even if it's just something to help him between the ears.
Nice. And in the Shockley household, my little guy. He asked his auntie, which is I thought was crazy. He asked her for a snowboard. I have no idea why. And then I tell my sister, who is his auntie, I said, why did you buy him a snowboard? It doesn't snow here in Georgia. It never snows. It snows one time in the last 10 years. But he got a snowboard for no reason. So my wife right now is taking that thing back. We got to get something else for that. So I don't know why he got a snowboard, but he was talking about that. My little guy also got a guitar. He said he wanted to learn some music. So we got him a nice little guitar. My daughter has all the clothes she ever wanted, but I don't know if you're in this phase, but my kids love slime. My daughter loves slime. She has like 9 jars of slime. One that smells like strawberry, banana. I mean, they got all kind of stuff.
Oh, we've been through that phase, man. Actually, we've been through it like twice. Let me give you a heads up, okay? Don't let that stuff get on the carpet.
Oh, nah, they know that. They know
it,
that.
She has a couple spots in her room upstairs that is like rock hard because slime got on the carpet and she. So we pulled the bed over that. And so she, but don't let it get on the carpet. It will ruin some carpet.
Oh, man, I'm sure everybody listening understands the struggle there is when it comes to kids and Christmas. So. Other than that, man, everybody did good. I got my wife some new AirPod Pros because...
Nice.
So here's what happened. My daughter, who at one point in time, my wife asked her to hold them or something. She dropped one of them and never found it. So my wife just had one. Mm-hmm. So she's been walking around for the longest with one. She always wears them. So I hooked her up with some new AirPod Pros. So she was excited about that. She wants a new phone. I did not get the new phone, but I'm sure within the next couple weeks I will be getting a new phone for her because she doesn't like her phone, doesn't have storage, all that stuff.
So. How long has she had her phone?
I don't know. A couple years, maybe, I guess.
Okay. Man. So after 2 years, you got to get her new phone, man.
Oh, so you're on that side?
Yeah.
So you just go, you go jump on that side and say, yeah.
Every couple of years? Dude, they're, get one, they're get designed. One these, they're designed these, to stop working after 2 years.
So we're going to go get one of these $1,000 phones. I got you. Cool. Makes sense. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Saying.
All right, man. We hope everybody had successful and good holidays and had some troubles similar to what we had with trying to get kids different gifts and everything. So it's definitely something. But thankful, no doubt. 2021 is upon us. We got a bunch of big-time games going on in college football. Obviously, this week, as we are recording the Triple Threat podcast, we also have the big college football semifinals will be happening on Friday. Alabama versus Notre Dame, Clemson versus Ohio State. The newest news from Clemson is their offensive coordinator is in protocol. Tony Elliott will not be in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl game. Just came out. He will be, what they say, in protocol. They didn't say if he had tested positive or what it may be, but he is tested and he's going to be in protocol for it. Do you think that makes a big difference for Clemson not having their play caller and offensive coordinator Tony Elliott in this ball game versus Iowa State?
I do. I would, again, and this happens a lot when you ask me a question and I kind of want to throw it back to you because you know much more than I do about it. You know the dynamics and you probably more familiar with who's he got under him that's going to be picking up that rock and calling in those signals, you know. So, but I think, yeah, anytime you have a major, I think it's honestly, unless the head coach is calling plays, I think a coordinator is probably more losing a coordinator is more problematic than losing a head coach, I would think. I mean, because you can collectively, you've been through enough games, you know what's supposed to happen on the sideline. But when it comes to play calling and in-game adjustments, I think it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. I mean, I know Clemson is preparing for this. I talked to a couple of my boys who are Clemson guys and a couple guys. They say they think Dabble will take over the play calling duties. It's a big time ball game like this. So if anything falls to the wayside, the only person he can blame is himself. So I think Dabble will take this opportunity to get back into the play calling duties. And but hey, you got a veteran quarterback, you got veteran running back, you got an offensive line that's played a lot of football for you. I think the offense will be just fine. But like you mentioned, I think the most important thing is those in-game adjustments that you make that an offensive coordinator can see when he's sitting up in that booth. Mm-hmm. Your head coach obviously is going to be Dabo, so he's going to be on the field. He's got other responsibilities. So that's going to be different for Clemson. I'm sure they're going to delegate a few things up front for their offense and make sure things are rolling in the right way. Clemson, Ohio State, though, man, where are you leaning, bro? Where are you leaning?
It's so hard. I've seen so little of Ohio State. Oh, I'm just going to zing one more.
You're on the Dabo bandwagon.
I'm going to zing one more in.
Games, yeah.
No, I just, until, you know, Clemson's got a pretty good defense as well. So I'm interested to see what Justin Fields, the only time he's faced a tough defense this year, he threw three interceptions and didn't look as good as he did in all the other games.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to see how he does against them. I'm pulling for him. And I tell you, I'm pulling for him because of my thoughts about the next level. So we can get to that later, but I'm curious, you know, how he's going to respond. But they hadn't played one game in the last month, I think, maybe.
And it's interesting you say about the next level because Todd McShay had his mock draft come out and he said he dropped Justin Fields all the way back to like number 9 because of his struggles that he's had. Now, what better opportunity for a guy like Justin Fields to show what he's about than a game like this versus Clemson versus the arguably number one player who will be taken in that same draft.
Yep.
And last year you had a chance to beat Clemson.
Yep.
And you had that late interception with the miscommunication with your receiver. But this is the best stage and the best opportunity, I feel, for Justin Fields to put on showcase what he is and what he can do going towards the next level. Because he goes out and plays, you know, hand for hand with Trevor Lawrence and gives them an opportunity to win the ball game, that's going to change a lot of minds for the scouts, for teams right. coming out here in the next few couple of weeks, you know. So big game for him, man. Other ball game, Alabama takes on Notre Dame. Nobody's giving Notre Dame any ounce of chance in this. I think they're like 19-point underdogs in a ball game where this is a semifinal game. You think it's supposed to be the top four teams. First off, do you think it'd be that much of a blowout, or you think Notre Dame can hang on and make it a close game?
Well, one thing that we never, because just so everybody knows, we had some technical issues last week, so we couldn't put out a show. So we actually haven't spoken since the playoff was announced. So this is my thoughts. I feel like, you know, everybody that was arguing about Notre Dame, Texas A&M, I don't know. I don't think there's a clear fourth best team in the country. That's what I think. Yeah, I think that there's a. I think there's a top three, and I don't think there's a clear fourth. In fact, if it were up to me, because there's not a clear top four, I might have tried to sneak in Cincinnati in there. Just saying, but anyway, no, I don't think they have a chance. I think I said 17-point game last time we talked when they played Clemson. I said the ACC championship is going to be a 17-point game. I was wrong. It was 24. So no, I think Alabama has the ability to beat them worse, and I just think it's Notre Dame getting Notre Dame credit like they always do.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting though, because if right now in the ACC, Notre Dame leads the league in time of possession, and we know the number one thing for teams playing against teams like this is controlling the clock, controlling the line of scrimmage, controlling the ball. If you can control the time of possession and limit the amount of series that the Alabama offense can have and make every single series count for them, you put a lot of pressure on them. So if they can continue that, I think that's a good, I should say, recipe for them.
Right. And this is what I said about the Florida-Alabama game. I feel the same way about this, is that Notre Dame has to play a near flawless game. They can't be turning the ball over because they're not going to stop Alabama from scoring, I don't think. So they have to play a near flawless game on offense, and then on defense they have to force something, whether it be stops or turnovers. They've got to limit. I don't think time of possession is going to be. I mean, obviously time of possession always shortens the game, but they're still going to have the ball just as many times as you, basically. So
yeah, no doubt.
I think I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I think that they got to play their best, and they've got to make Alabama, you know, not be their best or not look their best.
All right, man, other big ball games going on. Obviously, Georgia will take on Cincinnati as well on Friday in the noon game in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. You just mentioned Cincinnati, and I've had a lot of conversations this week about that particular ball game, and I've told people Georgia has to be on alert because this is a pretty good Cincinnati team. They come in here with a really top-ranked defense. They have a quarterback that can do it in his run game and in the pass game, and Georgia has a couple opt-outs. Are they still worried about not playing in the SEC championship game? Are they mad they're not in the college football playoffs? Like, all these different factors. James Cook is probably going to be out of this ball game. Sad news to hear about his dad passing away. So he won't be a part of the Georgia team in that ball game. Georgia-Cincinnati can be very interesting. And I think if Georgia takes them lightly, Cincinnati is on the other end saying, look, we probably deserve to be in the top four, at least in the conversation, because of our record, the way we played, and you go out here and beat a Power 5 team like Georgia on a national stage, it speaks volumes for everybody who are in those group of five teams who are right on the edge come next year.
Yeah. I've seen Alabama lose to Utah back a while back. Yeah. Saw Auburn lose to UCF a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Seen Florida lose to Louisville. Seen Oklahoma, even further back, Oklahoma lose to Boise State. That's what I believe in all those four cases. None of those teams were better than the team they beat.
Right.
It's just virtually impossible with the talent level difference. However, any given Saturday, right? Any given game, they can do it. So yeah, I think, and I haven't gotten any impression that Georgia's looking ahead. What have you found out when you've been talking about it?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Kirby's done a good job of making sure these guys are focused and ready to go. Cause I think it goes back to a couple years ago when everybody had that same conversation about Georgia, and they got whooped versus Texas in that Sugar Bowl. Mm. And the next year when they played Baylor, it was a different story. So I think Kirby and that staff have learned from those different experiences of, hey, we got to come ready to play, because they're not going to be worried about you having some sour feelings because you didn't play in the playoffs or whatever it may be. So another fun game to look at and watch coming up. Oregon versus Iowa State, Texas A&M versus North Carolina. I really like that game. Texas A&M, North Carolina. Texas A&M right there sitting at that number five spot. North Carolina had some big wins this year. Sam Howell, their quarterback, they lit it up this season. So it's going to be a lot of interesting games come this weekend. What's the game you're most excited to watch? Because we talked about a bunch of different games already, but what's the one game that you're like, I'm locked in on that?
Yeah, every one that you've mentioned I've got to see, you know, every one of them's got the top 10, 12 teams in the country playing against each other, basically. And the only other one you didn't mention, unfortunately, is going to happen tonight that we're not going to be able to talk about, really, is the Florida-Oklahoma game.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you,
I like that game too.
Before all of their receivers started opting out, I thought that was going to be a tremendous game.
Yeah, because Florida's missing what? Grimes, Toning, and the tight end, right? Pitts, right?
Pitts. And their fourth receiver, Jacob Copeland, has COVID.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to start a freshman, Xavier Henderson, who is C.J. Henderson's little brother, the corner that got drafted in the first round last year. And I don't even know who else is going to start. They got a couple good tight ends, three of them actually, that can fill in, but they're not Pitts. So we'll see, man. We'll see if
– Here's one thing. If I'm sure most of the Heisman voters have probably already voted and gave who they're going to win. But if they haven't and they're waiting for these last couple ball games to see, okay, which guy I like the most, this may hurt Kyle Trask not having his guys in there. I know he's in the top four of the finalists, but if he goes out and looks pedestrian because he has his guys, that's the last impression some of these Heisman voters have. So that's a big, big time situation for Kyle Trask trying to win the Heisman Trophy with 43 touchdowns, which is bananas.
Yeah.
Most in all of college football, of course. So it's going to be, I think, one of those type of games where some guys may have to step up. I mean, that's crazy to have that many guys lost off your ball club. Man, a lot of big-time games happening. I'm looking forward to a couple other big things. I'm looking forward to watching Auburn. Auburn takes on Northwestern, but last week Auburn hired a new coach. He came from Boise State, Brian Harsin, 44 years old, was 69-19. He had three Mountain West titles in 7 years. He was taken over for Gus Malzahn, who was there for 8 years. Louisiana head coach Billy Napier and obviously Brent Venables were two guys who were up for that job, both turned it down. So Harsin becomes the next guy in line. Terry Bowden named the Louisiana Monroe head coach, about now 64 years old.
Oh, man, I can't believe he's only 64.
I know, man. He's replacing Matt Viator, who was fired on December 7th after an 0-10 start to the season. He was 19-39 at Louisiana Monroe. So Terry Bowden back into the coaching circle. And I think probably the other one that probably stuck out was Kevin Sumlin being fired down in Arizona. And now they hired Jed Fish, who now will be the head coach, who was the quarterback's coach there. He was the new head coach there, but he was the head for the New England Patriots.
Right,
so a lot of guys getting new head coaching starts, a lot of guys getting their first time in it, and Fish coming over as the New England quarterback's coach. I'm sure he's probably glad to get out of there, as New England has struggled mightily, to say the least, in that particular position. Hey, while we on that, what do you think happens with Cam, bro? What do you think happened? I mean, he's had a struggle of a season. Stidham came in their last ball game for him. Thought this would be the season where he would kind of get back on his horse and, you know, be ready to go, get another big contract and possibly lead his career, you know, use his career to go down the stretch a little bit. What do you think happens with Cam now, man?
Such an interesting dynamic with Brady going to the Bucs and Cam going to New England, and, you know, all the different discussions about, you know, who needed more who in New England, Brady or Belichick. And so it's been interesting to watch. I don't I have several reasons not to be a Cam fan, but I you know, and he ain't losing any sleep over any of them. So I'm not worried about that. But
no doubt.
I think, you know, he ain't gonna be there next year. He just signed a one year deal. Am I wrong? Yeah.
No, you're right.
So he ain't gonna be there next year. I don't know, man. I would find it hard to believe if he would go play backup somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to see him as a guy that stands on the sideline now. You know, this is 10th year in the NFL and not, you know, this season working out the way he was. I don't know if you saw any of his like workout videos as he was getting ready for the season. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was talking about how he was being overlooked and all this kind of stuff. And to come in and have a season. I mean, at one point in that ball game, he was 4 of 10, 5 of 10 for 34 yards. I mean, that's just not what you want in a starting quarterback, especially not what you expected from a guy like Cam Newton coming into this season. So, man, it'd be interesting to see what happens to him down the stretch. As we're talking about some NFL stuff, obviously we're in the last weekend of the National Football League as we head into the playoffs. A couple different spots still up to grabs for the wild card. We saw last week, though, Falcons and the Chiefs, man, turned out to be a better game than a lot of people expected. The Falcons took them down to the wire, held the Chiefs to the lowest point total of the season. The Falcons defense held them under 20 points, had a chance to win it late, just wasn't able to come up with it. The Chiefs, you know, just found a way to win. They look like they're going to sit some starters here going into the last week of the season. Jets went 2 in a row. How about we talk about that for a second? The Jets and the Jags. Jags get the number one overall seed. Everybody thinks, and I think it's pretty foregone conclusion, Trevor Lawrence will be a Jacksonville Jaguar. Are Jets fans really mad, bro? Are they mad for real that they don't get the Trevor Lawrence?
I would think so. How do you start out 0-13 and then win two games to lose that spot? That's unbelievable to me.
I'm Trevor Lawrence. I'm hyped because, first off, I'm going to a place where it's hot, and then I ain't got to pay no – the taxes are better in Florida than it is in New York.
Oh, so, much better.
So if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm like, way to go, Jets. But now, who becomes that guy? Do the Jets keep Sam Darnold? Do they go get a Justin Fields or Zach Wilson? I mean, there are a lot of things that they could do with that number two spot. But I think it all depends on how they feel about Sam Darnold. But
right.
The other part is Adam Gase. He probably will be gone. Who will be the new head coach? There are a lot of different – there are three teams now that already need new head coaches. So that's going to be interesting as the season ramps up. Do you think they keep Darnold? I mean, would you keep Sam Darnold if you were the Jets?
Based on everything I've ever read and heard, the team feels good about Sam Darnold. I know you don't. Most people aren't going to throw their quarterback under the bus, but I feel like they feel good about him. And anytime I've heard experts, if you want to call them that, on TV,
right,
on the ESPN talking about him, I think most people I hear believe in his ability. I'm not a quarterback expert, so I can't make that decision. But if you were in a spot, because Sam Darnold's going to get paid pretty soon, right? Yeah. It's his third year.
Yep.
So he's going to be coming off rookie contract soon, correct? So
yep.
If I'm in the position and I really liked what's his name? Trey Lance
from North Dakota State,
Justin Fields, Zach Wilson. If I like one of those guys a lot and you don't see, you know, you can have a rookie that you really like. Now, I don't want to be shooting craps at somebody right now, but if I don't want to be taking chances, but if you like somebody a lot that's going to be a rookie, that's you got to think about 3 more years of lower income as well, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, it's a lot of interesting quarterback situations going on around the league. Pittsburgh takes on Cleveland, and I already heard with Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger won't play. They probably sit a bunch of other guys for Pittsburgh, and Cleveland wins. They're in the playoffs. I mean, how crazy is that? Pittsburgh, 10-win season. Just a few years back, this team was 0-16. Now they got a 10-win season and got a chance to go into the playoffs. It's just remarkable. I mean, what Cleveland has done in Baker, no OBJ. So Cleveland getting a chance to kind of end the season the right way. The other big situation that happened this past week was with Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins had the issue going back. Let's go back. a week, he gets, you know, caught on film, caught on tape, you know, with some strippers and all this kind of stuff. And then he gets fined by the team. They they strip him of his captain duties. And then he goes out and plays horribly in the ball game. And the next day, they cut him and release him. And now he's on waivers, now with a ball club. And this is a guy who was a first-round pick, top 15 pick just last year. This Dwayne Haskins situation, I think, is really terrible. I feel bad for that organization because of the situation at hand. He's a guy that has to learn from the mistakes. I know it's something that, you know, he's going to look back on this and say, hey, I could have did X, Y, and Z better. And I hope he learns from it and gets another opportunity. And I think he will. I think there's some pseudo-forms. I think it's going to take time for him to go sit maybe 1 or 2 years and understand what it's like to be a quarterback in the National Football League, the things that you have to do daily, the things you have to do to prepare yourself. And I think a guy like Jameis Winston has learned that this year from sitting behind Drew Brees.
Hope so.
Learned how to be a pro. And only time will tell when he gets his opportunity again. But there's no denying both those guys have the talent. Now it's just about putting that talent onto the field and showing it. So I hope he learns from it, man. I would love to hear your take on that whole situation. And do you think he gets another opportunity?
Yeah, I think he's got the talent to get another opportunity. He hasn't done anything you know, I guess I don't know what he's doing at practice. I don't know what he's doing off the field, but I only know about one thing. I know one picture in a strip club. That's the only thing I know about.
And that's what everybody and he sees.
He ain't the only one.
Oh, no. No doubt. Oh,
he ain't
no.
the only one with rolls of hundreds in his pocket going to us, going there. Okay. No. So I'm not the problem is he doesn't have very good awareness, in my opinion. Not good decision making. Because A, the climate to be out in that situation not wearing a mask. And then B, the struggles he's had for the couple years, he can't stay on the field. He's not playing good enough to stay on the field. He does, you know, so it's just bad. It's a lot of bad optics, right? What'd you think about what Booger said, man?
You know, I saw what Booger said and I can understand where he's coming from, but I don't think that every African-American quarterback thinks that way. I remember coming into the league. I had no thoughts of that. I only had thoughts of what he talked about, which was coming here. How do I be a better player? How do I be a better teammate? How do I get myself ready to play? Those are some of the things that I thought about. So I think it's a set of guys, or there is a couple of guys. Now, I don't know if he knows Dwayne Haskins personally. Yeah. I don't know if he knows people around him that says this is what he was about. If he was about trying to get a brand or whatever it may be, I don't know if he knows some of that stuff personally. And I think that's what a lot of people are failing to realize. If he does have a personal relationship with him and can speak on that, then that's a whole nother story. But I also didn't want it to be categorized as every single guy that plays that position or plays that role is looked upon in that light. Each guy is different. Every guy doesn't come to league with the same mindset. But then there's also, I love the fact to look at guys like Russell Wilson. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got Lamar Jackson. You got guys who have come in and they have done the right things. Dak. So that's not exactly where I think he wanted it to go.
Yeah.
And I think there's clear examples of guys who've done it the right way. And then you can think about there's guys like Johnny Manziel who came in who didn't do it the right way. Right. And you can see where they are now. So I think there's a lot of different examples that can show you ways to do it right, ways of things where you don't do it the right way.
Right.
And when you don't do it the right way, you're in a situation where you're not in the National Football League, which is a place where you work so hard to get to.
Well, I feel like that when this discussion happens, a lot of people still act like there's like only two black quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. Okay. Right. There's also Dak and Deshaun that you didn't mention.
No doubt.
Cam. While I don't like Cam on the field, Cam was a great person in the community.
Yeah.
That's all. Whenever I would get on him, that's all some, you know, I have Carolina fan friends that they would talk about how great of a person he was and what he was
doing. Scotty D, I'll say this.
He's never in trouble.
The guys you named there, you talk about when I named Russell, you named Dak, you know, and Cam. Mm-hmm. All these guys built their brand after what happened on the field. After the success they had on the field, then the brand stuff came with it. So for guys to think they did it before time is just, I think it's different. I think you got to go out and you got to play the game first and then create your brand that way. Because all those guys have taken off since they had the success, which I think is the way to do it.
Yeah, all those guys I named, in comparison to what we've seen on the field, are much better quarterbacks than Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
Now, but I also like the point that you brought up about Johnny Manziel, and there's been a ton of others that have been immature white guys that couldn't handle being quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I also think that this happens at every position, but there's no bigger spotlight than there is on quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So that's what you're seeing.
Yeah.
There's always times of people getting in trouble. The receivers are pretty high magnified too, but they're doing it too. But you know, I didn't agree with everything Booger said, but I certainly think there was some nuggets in there that were something to think about. You've got, and using his words, you've got to treat it as a business. This is a job, and
it is a job. And guess what? If you're not doing it, they're gonna find somebody else to come in here and do it. They're paying you, like he mentioned, they're paying you a lot of money to play a kid's game. And if you're not doing things the right way, guess what? They're going to find somebody else. And the last part about this that I want to mention is Haskins had an opportunity in that ball game to get his team into the playoffs. They win that ball game, they get into the playoffs, and if they win, he is a huge part of that. That helps in building something for him going forward in the future as a first-round pick, as a guy that they depended on. Mm-hmm. So I was sad in that light that he didn't get that opportunity. Well, he got the opportunity, but he didn't seize the opportunity, I should say. So this week, Alex Smith is a guy who they hoping to get back. Washington win and they end, lose and you out. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Dallas wins. They win a division. As crazy as that sounds, Dallas the last couple of weeks with Andy Dalton has played well. They went and beat the Philly last week with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts kind of took a step backwards last week. But we know that's a whole nother can of worms in quarterback with him and Carson Wentz. So that MC East is a tricky, tricky situation, but it's probably as simple as it gets: winning, you're in, and losing, you're out. So I think those are going to be fun games to watch. It's going to be interesting to see as we move forward. Holidays are coming upon us, brother. Obviously, basketball season is cranked up.
Yeah.
Hawks are still undefeated. How crazy is that? I think it's only them and Orlando Magic are the only teams in the NBA that are undefeated. I saw some other day where Trae Young is, you know, leading the league in a couple different categories. He's, you know, he scored a crazy amount of points in, you know, the first three ball games. Mm-hmm. So Hawks, man, they already trying to say we deserve a little respect as this season starts. And I saw Trae Young was already mad when the season started when they didn't get a game on Christmas. So he got a little something on his shoulder, that Scotty D.
Yeah, he needs to understand that. You know, you got to accomplish something. You can't go 20-47 or whatever they were last year and expect to get a Christmas game. I don't care how good your superstar is. But man, it's been pretty exciting to watch. Now, one caveat is they haven't played the strongest competition. They played the Bulls, who are really bad. They played the Pistons, who are not good. And I think the Grizzlies are probably middle of the pack in the West, and they just lost Ja. So, they haven't played the best competition, but you know what? I've been impressed because I don't watch a lot of NBA, but I watch a lot of Hawks.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of times where they lost games late last year. And that translates to me for the most part being young, not knowing how to win And they've done that. I watched, the Memphis game, for instance. They would get up by 5-6, and then they let them right back up to get even with them, to get up by 5 or 6. So it was back and forth. And then all of a sudden I looked up and they were up by 12 and they held on and they won. And so they're winning games instead of, you know, they're keeping their foot on the throttle and winning games. They look impressive. Who I think is probably their second best player now is has not even gotten on a roll yet. Who is Bogdan Bogdanovic. Bogey.
Oh, nice job with that.
Thank you, sir.
Nice job with that.
Yeah, Bogey, they call him. So he's not even gotten rolling yet. And they've had several injuries. So it's been fun to watch. I tell you what, you know who they play tonight? Unfortunately, just like the Florida-Oklahoma game, we can talk about it, but when this comes out, it's going to be over. They got the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
Brooklyn in the house. KD, yeah. Kyrie.
They won their first couple games by like 30 points, and then they lost to Memphis, I think. Yeah, they lost to Memphis, and they lost to Charlotte. Yeah. So I don't know what – I thought maybe Brooklyn was going to be the beast of the East, but I don't know. Yeah. We'll see tonight.
All right, man. That'd be good, man. Before we get out of here on the Triple Threat podcast, I want to do something different that we haven't normally done, but we're going into a new year. I wanted to – Scotty, I'm going to give you a chance to do it as well, but I just want to say I'm truly thankful for 2020 because it taught me so much. I know we had a lot of things that went wrong. I know we had a lot of things, a lot of people who were hurt, lost a lot of people. But I'm thankful for you, Scotty D. I'm thankful for you hitting me up and saying, hey, man, step out of your box a little bit and let's try this podcast stuff. If people don't know, Scotty D is the producer, the director of this entire thing. He edits everything, makes sure everything looks good, sounds good. So I appreciate you and I'm thankful to have you as a friend, brother. I'm thankful for my family, thankful for having the opportunity to be able to do what I do on a daily basis. So it's a true honor to be able to have this opportunity and to share it with you, brother. It's always cool. I want to leave the people with something before I let you go, bro. It's something that has helped me, and I hope you guys get something out of it. Perspective affects performance. How one views what they do will always affect how one will do what they do. So perspective affects performance, and that's kind of how I went into 2020 is how you view things. I know things may look bad at times, but hey, it shouldn't affect your performance because you got to give it everything you got regardless because there are a lot of people who did not wake up this morning and you got to be thankful for that. And I'm thankful for you, Scotty D. So I allow you to go, bro, if you want to, but it was something that was on my chest, on my heart. I wanted to maybe get it out to you and I hope everybody takes it well and appreciates it.
Man, DJ, I appreciate that very much. I want to thank my family for their support, even though, you know, they were stomping around the house a second ago and closing open doors right next to me. But I appreciate their support in this endeavor because, you know, this isn't a normal thing we're doing. This isn't a normal pay job, payday that we're getting right now. So I appreciate my wife and my children's support. And I appreciate you for saying yes, man. I had this, for those that don't know, DJ and I worked together about 6, 7, 8 years ago. We worked together a couple of years doing high school football for WSB. And so I reached out to him after not really talking to him for 5 years and just hoping he would either remember who I am or, you know, think it was a great idea or both. And, you know, I threw it out there after carrying this idea in my pocket for a little while. And I've had a blast. When we couldn't do it last week, I told you already, I was legitimately disappointed last week. Yeah. When we couldn't get the Zoom working for us. Yeah. And I really enjoy this. I'm having a blast. I'm proud of what we're doing. And I can't tell everybody enough out there. Everybody I ever talk to knows that DJ's a stand-up dude. Everybody, even if they've never met him, you can just tell. It comes through the screen. It comes through the radio, whatever DJ's doing. He's an awesome guy. And I can't tell everybody enough how great of a guy and a family man and a husband he is and how serious he takes his work, how much he prepares. That week one, it started and I was just so impressed about the effort and the research you put into stuff. And I really admire you. I thank you, man. Thanks a lot. This has been fun and I'm looking forward to 2021.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you saying that, man. Always. I've been a stand-up guy, like I mentioned, since those days. And that's kind of one of the things that I've kind of carried throughout my life is, hey, man, I like to be around good people. And at the end of the day, you're not a good person. It's something that I don't really, you know, fool with. I had a buddy just a couple of days ago, my man John Todd. He's one of my neighbors. He goes, yeah, man, I've been listening to, what do you guys know, like episode 10 or 11? I said, whoa, no, you got to catch up. And he goes, he pulls it up on his phone right there. And he's like, whoa. Y'all done did 20-some episodes? I was like, yeah, man, it's been been fun. We've been rocking and rolling, and we've had some great guests for sure. We always appreciate our guests. We'll get back up to the guest train next week. But cut this short, man. I appreciate everybody joining the Triple Threat Podcast this week. Looking forward to 2021. I hope you guys enjoy your families, enjoy all the football games this weekend, enjoy anything that you're into, and enjoy family most of all. We wish you guys nothing but happy holidays, and we'll see you in 2021. Triple Threat Podcast, my man Scotty D and DJ Shockley, 2020. Holla.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.